Good. A little hesitant. That's all right. I know the feeling on a groggy Sunday morning here. I'm glad you could be here. My name is Sten, and I am the pastor here. Really thrilled that you could be with us. If this is your very first time with us ever at MidCurrent, let me just give an extra special welcome to you. You picked a really great time to join us because we are beginning today a brand new four-week message series called Selfie-Centered. And so for the next few weeks, I want to talk about life for you and for me in the age of the internet, right? Like it or not, that is the day and the age that we are living in right now. In fact, if you were born in 1997 or later, you have never known, right? For anyone born in 1997 or later, you have never known the world without the internet. Okay, I remember the days before the internet, right? No AOL Instant Messenger, you know, no internet, no nothing, no social media, right? The youngest of the generations today coming up behind us, they don't even really know a world where social media isn't the social currency of existence today, right? Of just kind of doing life day in and day out. In fact, I saw a certain statistic this week that suggested that the average person spends between 2 and 3 hours per day on social media. One study suggested that teenagers spend up to 9 hours a day on some kind of device per day. Okay, and that's why my oldest daughter, Lucy, will not get a cell phone until she is 40 years old. Hashtag kidding, not kidding, okay? But seriously, though, we are living, whether we want to believe it or not, whether, you know, whether we participated as much or not as much, so that we are living in a world that is absolutely saturated with social media. And now, before you think that I am anti-technology, let me just tell you that I'm not. Before you think that this is going to be a four-week message series that's all about being anti-social media, it's not going to be that kind of series either. The reality is there is a ton of upside to the ways that technology has really enhanced life for all of us today. For instance, my brother has a good friend from his church out in Colorado who has been in the hospital for about a month with some complications, serious complications from pneumonia, and the hospital bills are quickly piling up to, no joke, about to what I made in my first year out of college. And so with the help of social media, my brother, this is kind of unlike him, which is why this is so cool. He created a GoFundMe for this family, posted it to Facebook, and in less than a month, this was the last time that I checked, in less than a month, not even 4 weeks, he had raised $15,000 from people all over the country. It's amazing. It's heartwarming. It's actually quite inspiring, and I'm not sure it's possible without the power of the internet, social media. A ton of upside, right? What about life for all of us in 2020? In my home, we started kind of a new nightly routine, if you will, during our old safer at home days. My mom, who lives in Chicago, would FaceTime my kids, her grandkids here in Hudson, to read them a bedtime story every night before they went to bed, right? With two tiny little handheld devices, a grandmother and her grandkids stayed connected to each other in a way that I'm sure my mom never even imagined would be possible, especially when her youngest little boy moved 5-6 hours away. What about life here at MidCurrent, right? If it wasn't for YouTube and Facebook Live and other, you know, platforms, this 2.5-year-old community at the time when the world changed, right? If it wasn't for, you know, these kind of platforms, we would not have been able to continue moving forward, right? And now today, with two cameras, no bigger than the, you know, the size of a football, right? Our worship and our community, and most importantly, the name of Jesus can be broadcast right into the living room or right onto the cell phone screen of anyone, not only here in Western Wisconsin, but truthfully anywhere in the world. Okay, there is a ton of upside to technology and to the advancements of the internet today and what social media really allows us to do. But there's also a ton of downside as well that I want us to be aware of. Because the truth is, never before have we been so busy and yet so bored. Never before have we been so full of every possible thing there is to consume and yet so empty. Never before have we been so connected and yet lonelier than ever. And never before have we had so much at our fingertips and yet felt so unsatisfied. with the lives that we live at the very same time, right? You ever feel like that? So busy and yet so bored, so full and yet so empty, right? So connected and yet so lonely. You ever feel that way inside? I think we all know the feeling, and truthfully, I think social media has something to do with it. In fact, sociologists would agree. Some sociologists will point to technology as a major factor and contributor to the decline of happiness and satisfaction in the lives of people today. There are researchers at a couple different universities that conducted a study a few years ago in which they tracked university students who are regular Facebook users. So for 2 weeks straight, they had them complete life satisfaction surveys 5 times a day. And their surveys showed that these students were considerably less satisfied with their lives and more critical of their lives after they had just been on Facebook than in the moments just prior. Okay? Less satisfied, more critical in the moments after being on Facebook than in the moments just prior. Right? The question for me becomes, what is happening? What is causing this? Why is this happening? What is it about technology and what it is about the internet and social media that has such an impact on the satisfaction that we experience in life? What really is the connection between the two? If some are pointing that there is a connection, what is the connection? What is happening here? The truth is there was not social media in the days that Jesus walked this earth. But the very same activity that social media increases quite a bit, right? The same activity that social media increases exponentially in our lives was still evident in their day. They didn't have social media, but the very same thing that we do primarily when we're scrolling and when we're surfing and when we're swiping, it was still evident in the lives of the people that walked in the days that Jesus did. And I think the very first leaders in this Jesus movement, they recognized it. They recognized this activity and they were concerned about it. And they were concerned that it could be dangerous in society, dangerous in community, and maybe even dangerous in the church. And they were able to identify this activity that has such an effect on the satisfaction that we find in life. And so if you want to know what that one activity is that I'm starting to point to here that seems to impact the general satisfaction that we find in life, I want you to turn your attention with me to a letter, right? The New Testament is primarily a collection of letters that were written from someone to someone else or to a community of someone else's. And so I want you to turn your attention with me to a letter that one of the first leaders in this Jesus movement, his name is Paul, he wrote to a group of Jesus followers in the city of Galatia. And here's what he says to these people, concerned about what he's observing in their life and community. Here's what he says. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to what? Compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Okay? Pay attention to your own work. Okay? I've got some buddies who love to joke with each other saying, hey, watch your own bobber. Okay? I think that's what Paul is getting at here. Pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to your own work. Midcurrent, let me ask you something today. What is it that we are really doing when we're on the internet today? Right? When we're scrolling and swiping on Instagram and Facebook and on TikTok, what is it that we are doing primarily? Maybe the more pointed question is, who exactly are we paying attention to? Here's a hint. It ain't ourselves. We're not paying attention to ourselves when we're scrolling and surfing and swiping. We're paying attention to everyone else. Paying attention to everyone else's work, everyone else's life, everyone else's family, everyone else's kids, everyone else's vacation, everyone else's perfect-looking husband and most idyllic-looking, you know, date night. And whether we realize it or not, it's making us miserable. And we can do this without social media, right? When we choose to compare our life to the life of the people that we see around us, right? Despite what social media was intended for, despite the good that it can really do in our lives and that it can do in communities, the one activity that is absolutely unavoidable in it all, and maybe even done unconsciously, And it's increased online. The one activity that fuels this whole thing is comparison. And it's the very thing that Paul is concerned about here when he says, hey, pay attention to your own life. And then you'll find satisfaction and you won't have to look for it to your left or to your right. Right? We have to understand the more we compare, the less satisfied we are. Right? The more we compare our lives to the lives of the people on our left or on our right, to the front or to the back, the less satisfied we are. Right? We do this all the time. Oh, wow, their house is nice. Ours is way too small. Okay, oh, what a nice boat. Man, why can't we do anything fun like that? Right? Didn't they just go on vacation a few months ago? We haven't gotten away even once this year. Our life is really pretty boring. Wow, their kids seem so popular. I wonder if our kids aren't socializing enough. Wow, look at that new dress. You know, I'm still wearing the one that I bought in college. Or man, they're going on a date again. Why don't we do that as much as they seem to do that, right? The more often we compare, the less satisfied we are with our own lives. Okay, now very quickly here, before I keep moving on, let me just state hopefully what is obvious, but if it's not obvious, I want to make sure that you hear this today. What I want to state that's hopefully obvious about moments like this, Pastor Stephen Furtick, he says it quite well. He is known for saying that what is happening in these moments, when we go, oh wow, that looks so wonderful, well, my life looks so horrible, right? What's happening in these moments that we need to be aware of is that we are comparing our behind the scenes footage to everyone else's highlight reel and greatest hits. That's what's happening when we do this kind of deal, right? We're comparing our behind-the-scenes footage to their highlight reel, thinking it's a one-to-one comparison of what life is really like for them and what life is like for us. But this is never a fair comparison, and yet we fall for it every single time. The more often we compare ourselves to others, the less satisfied we are. Paul says, pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to what you've got going on here and you'll find true satisfaction, right? Pay attention to yourself and you won't need to compare your life to someone else in order to be content with the life that you have and with the life that you're living. And what Paul, I think his advice is highlighting here is that there is really a one-way relationship, right? I start with a question, what is the connection here? What is happening? I think Paul's advice here is highlighting that there is a one-way relationship. There is a one-way street between comparison and contentment. Simply put, comparison kills contentment. Doesn't matter if we're doing it on social media or just looking down the block. You might be thinking, hey, I don't really do all the, you know, the Facebook and the Instagram deal, right? That's not the only place this happens, right? It doesn't matter if you're looking on your screen, you're looking across the street, looking across the conference room or whatever, right? In whatever form it comes, comparison kills contentment in our life, right? The two cannot exist together. We can be content in life with who we are, with what we have, with the shoes that God created us to fill, or we can continually size ourselves against other people, but we cannot do both at the same time. As much as we like to think we can, right? We can be content in life, or we can choose to play this comparison game in order to find contentment, but we cannot do both at the same time. When our focus and our fixation is on what we're not or what we don't have, or even if our focus is on what we do have that maybe someone else doesn't have, we will never be satisfied. Jesus' brother James put it this way, and I think this should get our attention. It got mine. James writes this. He says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find, what does he say? There you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Here's how I would paraphrase that. If you find yourself looking over your shoulder, right? Wishing you had what they had, or wishing that you were doing what they were doing, or that you were just a little bit more like them, the more out of whack you are going to feel. Right? Something will be off inside of you and it's going to creep into every part of your life and things are going to start to fall apart and everyone will be at everyone's throat. Where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there will be disorder. And so when we're scrolling Facebook and Instagram or just paying too much attention to our neighbors or to our friends or to the people sitting a few rows over in church, comparing ourselves to everyone else and who they are and what they have and what they dress like and what they look like and where they buy and what they do, right? Something won't feel right. When we play this comparison game, I promise you something won't feel right inside of you. And maybe you would admit to that feeling right now. Maybe something doesn't feel right inside of you. Maybe something doesn't feel right about the community that you're a part of, or the group of people that you call your friends, or maybe the group of people that you call your family, right? Maybe something doesn't feel right when you look around and when you compare yourself to the people around you. And here's why I think that's the case. Here's why I think that there is so much disorder and there's so much discontentment that results from this kind of comparison. Here's why. Because we were not designed to resemble the image of others. We were designed to resemble the image of God. Right? We were not designed from the very beginning to resemble the image of someone impressive or someone productive or successful. Right? We were not designed to resemble the image of anyone else. We were designed to resemble the image of God. When we're paying attention to others and we're searching for satisfaction based off of comparison, we're typically trying to, or we just think we should probably resemble someone else if we're really going to be happy. We're thinking to ourselves, man, if I looked like them, or if I lived like them, or I had what they had, or I did what they did, I think all this emptiness, all this kind of yucky feeling inside of me, I think it would probably go away. Right? I think people would probably like me a little bit more. I think I'd be better at what I do, and I think I'd be more happy, more content in my life if I was just a little bit more like fill in the blank. And to be completely honest with you, I play this game all the time in my life. If I'm getting really honest with you, I play this game every time our good friend, Pastor James Brown, preaches here, and he just did a few weeks ago. Play this dumb game every time he's here. I sit back and I watch and I think, man, he's so smart and he's so funny and everyone is always laughing and having a good time here on Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, I start to feel all out of whack inside. And so the answer that I come up with to try to make that feeling go away, I say, well, man, if I was just maybe a little bit more like James, maybe all this would go a little bit better. Might if I was as smart as James, or I was as funny as James, maybe people would like me more, and maybe I'd be happier, with who I am and what I do and how I lead and all this deal. And so I have to remind myself every day, whether it's James or somebody else, I have to remind myself every single morning when I wake up that I was not designed to resemble the image of anyone else in the world that I live in. I was designed to resemble the image that God placed inside of me, to resemble the image of God that he placed inside of Sten Carlson. Right? The creation story in Genesis reminds us that God breathed at the time of creation. He breathed his very likeness, his very character into us. Psalm 139, it takes it a step further and reminds us that God knit us together specifically and intentionally and uniquely in the womb, right? The letter that Paul wrote to Christians in the city of Ephesus reminds us that we are God's masterpiece, it says, created to do great things that God already prepared for us to do long ago, an assignment that had our name on it. And when we forget this, because someone else's assignment feels a little bit better than all. When we forget this, I guarantee you the trains are going to start coming off the track. When we look for satisfaction in comparison, right, we're going to come up empty every time. We're essentially telling God, hey, I think you kind of messed up with me, with who I am, with the assignment you gave me, right? We're essentially telling God, hey, I could really represent you a whole lot better if I was just a little bit more like so-and-so. If I had what they had going on, I think I could do this whole thing better. And so when we start to play this game, things start to get out of whack and we start to feel this kind of disorder. We will not feel right inside of us. Why? Because comparison, it kills contentment. So what's the point then of all this today? What am I actually asking you to do? Am I asking you to cancel your Wi-Fi at home? Start, living off of the technology grid, right? Delete all of your social media apps. Never post to Facebook again. Okay, the last one is actually a little tempting because other than following MidCurrent on Instagram and Facebook, I honestly do not find a lot of good in most of the things that people post today, because it only perpetuates the comparison game that we play, and it feels edifying to almost no one else. around us. But I'm not even saying that you can't do that. I'm not telling you you can't do any of those things. Here's all I'm saying. I just want us to experience the upside of all this while trying to preserve contentment in our life and trying to kill comparison, right? Killing comparison is the key for us in the world in which we live. And if comparison kills contentment, we have to figure out what it is that kills comparison. Okay, we've got to figure out a way to put an end to this deadly game that we play. And so I want to finish here by just suggesting three things to you today that I think can help kill comparison in the life that you and I live and that can start to build a whole lot more contentment and satisfaction in our lives every single day. There's three things I want to suggest to you today. The first is this. Number one, simply decide for yourself what you will stop doing today. Okay, decide what you're going to stop doing today. For example, maybe you need to stop checking Facebook before you go to bed, or maybe you need to stop checking Facebook before you even get out of bed in the morning. Okay, maybe you need to decide to stop posting the things that really only send the message to everyone else that's looking that says, I'm here and you're not, right? Maybe you need to stop comparing the number of likes or the number of shares, or the number of views or the number of retweets to the other people in your life. Maybe you need to stop following someone that isn't good for you to be following. And this one is hard because the truth is we can come up with countless reasons why we need to be following this person or the other. I love to follow various pastors like Craig Rochelle and his church, Life Church in Oklahoma, or Andy Stanley and his church in North Point, or recently I started following Levi Lusco and his church, Fresh Life in Montana, right? I love to see what these guys are up to and what they're doing and what their church has got going on. And recently my wife, Erica, suggested something to me completely outrageous. She said, Sten, I think you should stop following those guys. And it wasn't because they were bad dudes. It wasn't because their churches were questionable or they were kind of going off the rails themselves. It's because Erica could see how much worse I felt about myself after I watched these guys do what they do. After I watched them preach and after I watched them lead at their churches. See, I would tell you that I have to follow them. I have to stay up to date with these guys because of, man, they're so sharp and there's all the inspiration and all the creativity and all the encouragement that I find from them. This is good for me. I got to stay up to date with these guys. My wife would argue that it's not encouragement that I'm finding. If I'm honest, when I step back and look at things, I can see that some of the lowest moments in my own soul are the moments when I find myself comparing myself to Craig or to Andy or to Levi or to James or to someone else down the street doing the same thing that I'm doing, right? We can think of a million reasons why it's okay for us to keep doing social media the way we always have, but if we're gonna kill comparison in our lives, there might be something that we need to decide to stop doing today. Here's the second thing that I would suggest for killing comparison. Number two, celebrate other people's success as much as you can. Celebrate other people's success. Romans 12:15 reminds us actually to rejoice with those who rejoice, right? When you see God blessing someone else in a way that you maybe wish God was blessing you, truly celebrating with them and celebrating for them, it can be one of the biggest remedies to a jealous heart. Right, so when someone got the job that you wanted, try praying this prayer. God, you must have had a great reason to bless them like this. Thank you so much. Thank you for blessing their life in a way that I know is going to be a huge encouragement to them. Right, when someone else gets something that you wish you had or that you wish you always wanted, try thanking God instead of resenting them. God, thank you so much for what they are experiencing, for the blessings that they are experiencing in their life right now. God, would you continue blessing them even so much more? Would you continue blessing their family in ways they would never even imagine? See, the truth is, Satan would love nothing more than for our hearts to just fester with perpetual envy and jealousy and comparison, right? He prefer the disorder that results from envy and selfish ambition. But what he isn't counting on is our celebration of someone else's success. right? Celebration of someone else's success, it sends a kill shot right to the heart of envy in us. And so we need to find a way to do this more and more in our lives. This past week, I had a chance to try this out, right? This past week, I was fishing with some of my best friends, and they're all older than me. They've all been fishing longer than me, and these are actually the guys that taught me to fly fish when I was very young. And we go fishing together every year, and every year, they always catch bigger fish than me. Same pool, I pull out a little guy, next guy, huge old rainbow trout. Okay? And honestly, this is very true. If I'm not careful, I can easily start to spin out and start feeling bad for myself. And when I do, I have a horrible time. But this week, I'm fresh off this trip. This week, I started doing something different than what I used to do, right? I started celebrating their success. When they landed a huge rainbow trout, I cheered wildly for them. At times, I would even stop fishing, right? Just to root for them when they were on a particularly good stretch of water. And you know what? It's so much more fun. It's so much more fun to celebrate someone else's success rather than to resent them for what they're experiencing or to feel bad about yourself, what you're not experiencing. Celebrating others' success, it kills comparison dead in its tracks, and it feels so, so good. And here's the last thing that I'm going to say before I move on to number three. Here's the last thing I'm going to say about celebrating other people's success. And truthfully, this isn't found anywhere in the Bible, but I read this quote this last week, and a little voice in my head said, "Stan, I think that might be true of you." And so I want to read it for you in case it might be true for any of you. Here's what I read. It said this: "Perhaps the reason God is not blessing you with something you want is because you're not celebrating God's blessings in someone else's life." Jesus didn't say that anywhere. That's not found in any book of the Bible, but I had something in me that said, "Stan, maybe you ought to pay attention to this," right? Perhaps the reason God is not blessing you with something you want is because you're not celebrating God's blessing in someone else's life. Either way, Midcurrent, let's learn to celebrate other people's success as much as we can. Here's the last thing that I want to suggest we do. Number three, we have to learn to cultivate gratitude, okay? We got to be honest, at least I have to be honest, this doesn't necessarily come naturally for us, I don't think, right? It's not always our natural, just kind of instinct to look on the bright side, right? The days before I took this trip that I'm telling you about, I found myself texting my buddies things like, "Man, why are we driving so far to get to there?" Or, "Oh, geez, the weather looks like it's going to stink all week long." Hashtag killjoy is what they say with those kind of text messages, right? "Oh, this is going to be bad. Oh, that looks awful," right? And it made me think of this verse from Proverbs that said this. It says, "For the despondent," big word, here's what it means, those who are low in spirits from a loss of hope or a loss of courage. "For the despondent," those who are feeling pretty low, "every day brings trouble." Okay, you ever meet people like that? Just like I'm texting, right? And they're like, "Man, maybe I can just tell that today's gonna be a bad day. Oh, looks like it's gonna rain tomorrow. Engine light's on again. My car's probably gonna die at any moment. I just know it. Market's crashed again. There goes my retirement," right? "The kids never listen. It's the same thing every day. Nothing will ever get better," right? For those who are low in spirits, for whatever reason, every day brings trouble. But Proverbs 15:15 doesn't end there. Look at the second half of the verse. "But for the happy heart, life is a continual feast." You know what that says to me? You find what you're looking for, right? You will find what it is that you are looking for. If you want to look for all the bad in the world, you'll find it. There's plenty of it out there. And we can usually spot it pretty quickly. But what if instead we started to look for the good that exists out there? Because there's just as much of it, if not more of it, everywhere. And for the happy heart, for the grateful heart, life is a continual feast. You will find what you're looking for. And so let's look for ways to be grateful for what we have, for what we are, for where we live, for who it is that surrounds us, and what it is that we get to do every day. All right, Midcurrent, let's suffocate the flames of envy and jealousy and comparison with huge blankets of gratitude. And life will be a feast. We will find satisfaction for a job well done and a life well lived. Midcurrent, let's really put this into play this week, because the truth is we can let comparison kill contentment in our lives. It's just the natural way this thing works. It's a one-way relationship. We can let comparison kill contentment in our lives, or we can wake up every morning and choose to do the things that will actually kill comparison and truly set us free. I know what it is that I'm shooting for, and I'm praying that many more of you would join me in that. Let me pray for us right now. God, the reality is that you did prepare in advance for each and every one of us great things, great works for us to do. God, we know that you have great assignments with our names on it. We know that you have created, God-sized shoes for us to fill uniquely, intentionally, God. We know that we are exactly who you want us to be, God. And so I just pray that you would help us find satisfaction in that we would pay attention to ourselves, who we are, what we're up to, what we're doing, who you called us to be, what assignment you put our name on, and no one else, God. Would you help us to fight the urge to look to our left and to look to our right and to think, well, man, if maybe I was just a little bit more like that or a little bit less like that, I would be a whole lot better off in my life. God, I'm not saying that there's not, things that we can learn. I'm not saying there's improvement that we can capitalize on, by learning from other people in our life. Absolutely, God. But I just pray that our satisfaction, the contentment we feel in our life, it wouldn't be attached to who it is that's on our left and to who it is that's on our right and what it is that they do and what it is that they have and where it is that they go and how it is that they live. God, would you help us to pay attention to who we are, who you've created us to be, what it is that you've blessed us with, and what assignment that you have called us to put our feet to every single day. God, I'm praying that so many more of us here would choose every day to do anything we can do, to do the things that we can do in our life that will kill comparison, so that comparison does not kill the contentment and the satisfaction we find in the life that you have laid out for us. And so God, would you give us incredible amounts of wisdom? Would you lead us and would you guide us to know where it is that we need to stop playing this game? God, would you give us courage and wisdom so that we would know where it is that we need to kill comparison right on the spot? And God, I'm praying that as we take steps to do what it is that we can do to do these things, I'm praying that we would truly find freedom, that we would find contentment and we would find satisfaction in the lives that we live and the things that you have called us to do each and every day. God, most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who makes it possible for us to continue striving after you, to try, to fail, to take one step forward and two step backs. God, because of the grace and the forgiveness that he offers us, we can continue moving forward towards the prize that is set before us, God. And so we give you so much thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, and for what he's done for us. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen. Hey, we are so glad to have you here with us, not only on site at Camp St. Croix, but joining us online as well. We are really hoping and praying that we would see you next Saturday night at our summer concert at the residence of the Van Handels, who are a part of this church. We'll make sure to get details and dates and addresses online this week. But one way or another, this is just an awesome time for us to spend together as a church, as a community, as friends, as family. So we hope that you will be there. If you're in need of prayer for anything today, there's going to be someone up here to my right to pray for you when the service is over. So please take advantage of that. And other than that, we will see you either Saturday night or right back here on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on site or online for week number 2 in our series, Selfie Centered. Have a great afternoon. God bless you.